Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location, this is Real Spoilers, episode 215 for Morgan.
Who would have thought we'd make this milestone?
It's twice the milestone.
Unbelievable.
Who would have thought that the movie of the day would be one that opened number 17 at the box office? Have we ever talked about a movie that's opened?
I don't know that we've talked
below
about
the
one.
Top 10.
I think we might have,
or like,
once,
like,
but
with the indie thing, I know that sometimes the art house is like a little underbutt.
But I don't know that.
I don't think anybody knows this movie. Okay. Like I said, in our previous broadcast, I didn't even know about this movie until last week because I saw it, the trailer, right before Don't Breathe.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it looks interesting. Hey, Paul Giamatti, you know,
yeah.
I mean, aside from the Amazing Spider-Man, and Kate Mara. And I was like, oh, and there's that guy I just saw in Stranger Things.
Kate Mara, Fantastic Four, of the Fantastic Four.
You've got some clout in this. And then, there's what's his name? Hydra is in this too.
I know. That's what, as soon as I see him, all I think of is Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra.
But
I was like, I figured this movie was also coming out in like a month or two.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I think I saw it at a preview. We were probably at the same movie.
Yeah,
did we see
we
it
were
before?
At the same movie.
But we saw it before Don't Breathe.
Yes.
That's where we saw the preview.
But I also thought it was, like, I didn't think anything of it because I was like, well, I'll have to see that when that comes out. We'll have to talk about it.
It's funny. I always think of Toby Jones as the other Truman Capote.
The other Truman
Capote. Oh, yeah. That's true.
Although he was great.
Yeah, he was.
He was great, too. Yeah. Like, I just think he didn't end up in as good of a movie.
No.
But I still didn't think it was a bad movie.
No, it wasn't a bad movie. Just it was like you got two volcano movies, you got two ant movies,
right.
You got two Truman Capote movies.
Yeah,
I mean, Philip Seymour Hoffman was one hell of an actor.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
absolutely.
You know. But I honestly, I thought his Truman Capote. I think I might have liked his better.
Toby's.
I think Philip Seymour Hoffman was in the better movie. But I honestly think Toby Jones is. Capote was better.
He's a good actor.
I liked him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a good actor. Yeah. And, you know, I just think that he's probably most known as the evil Hydra scientist.
Yeah.
But
I also felt bad for Toby Jones because he's a weird looking dude.
Yeah.
He's short. And I can say it, like, as a short guy.
You can
short.
Say that. You
yeah,
can say
like
that.
I, yeah, yeah. But
he was perfectly cast.
He was like,
was probably like riding high.
Yeah, he was like, I was born to play Truman Capote.
Yes.
This is it, man. This is my thing. And then Philip Seymour Hoffman's like, nope. And he's like, well, son of a
you
bitch,
jerk.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when I looked at the cast list, I'm like, this actually has. And then Dan, talk about the connection to producer Ridley Scott.
Yeah, because I was like, okay, so then I saw it was a Scott-Free production. I saw Ridley Scott's producer. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I saw Jimmy Scott or whatever. And I'm like, hey.
Luke Scott
hold
is the
on.
Director.
Luke Scott. I'm like, And Luke Scott is the son of Ridley nephew of the departed Tony.
So I have a theory. I have a theory. So as we've mentioned, this movie opened to number 17 at the box office.
Uh-huh.
We did not know about this movie until a week before its release.
Right.
I think that Ridley Scott, I'm just guessing that Ridley Scott did not want Luke Scott's career to end here, right, and maybe they buried this movie.
You know, it's a good
maybe
point.
Maybe it didn't have big enough budget to care about.
This is like the low rent Blade Runner.
Right.
Yeah, which, I was going to say,
thinking, what's your video?
By or Ridley.
Yeah.
Or Poor Man's Ex Machina.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's two things that I've drawn comparisons to. I was thinking, what's the video recovery going to be? Blade Runner?
Yeah. No, it's, yeah, I would way back.
Okay. I just wonder, really, I know that this is 20th Century Fox. I mean, they have shareholders. They're not trying to lose money here, but I just wonder if maybe somebody pulled some strings and didn't quite up the marketing budget enough. Like, they knew this was a turd.
But, you know, here's the thing, though. Like, it's not a turd. It's not a great movie. But, I mean, I've seen much more high-profile movies were way worse.
But, yeah, we've seen a lot worse movies make more money, for sure. Yeah. I mean,
I've seen a lot worse movies get a lot of muscle behind them. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, RIPD.
Yeah.
Look how much muscle that had behind it. So, I don't know what happened here, because, at the end of the day, I didn't really care for the movie, but I wasn't.
It's not terrible.
It's not awful. It's just,
I think on your home theater, it's probably perfectly passable.
Maybe home theater on cable.
I think,
the
problem with this movie is, because if we recap it, there's not much to recap, because you can guess the twist.
The twist.
And because nothing happens.
Early
this is
on.
This is a very light plot movie.
It's almost like a stage play, because there's just...
It all takes place in one house, practically.
Yes. Yeah.
It reminded me of, an old, Victorian whodunit in a lot of ways, because it's like you have this outsider introduced to a kind of a closed environment. Yeah. No one's allowed to leave the house until we determine, and, you know...
Yes, the video recovery's Clue.
Nope.
Death Trap.
No. Oh, no. We've done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep thinking about that movie.
Yeah. I was going to say you did a backdoor video recovery, but that might not be in the best taste.
Oh, no.
So maybe since Joe's not here, we can just pass the ball around and kind of...
Okay. Well, the movie opens up with, they kind of do the little, sizzle to get you in. And they have, the high-tech, we see somebody
security facility. Camera footage.
Yeah, and they've got the motion tracking and everything, and all the graphics on the screen and stuff like that. And we hear somebody come in and talking to Morgan.
This subject, yeah.
Yeah, the subject who's sitting at a table, and the subject doesn't really say anything. And the person who I think we find, was that Jennifer Jason Leigh?
Yes.
Okay.
That's
so,
Kate. What is her name? Kathy.
Kathy.
Yeah. The subject's like, Morgan, I'm sorry. I know we said but you can't go outside. And, the next thing you know, there's nothing happening. And you can see that, the heart rate on both of them and all the biometrics.
Yeah.
And Morgan jumps up on the table and he starts just stabbing the other person in the eye.
With a pen or something.
Yeah, something. It was definitely stabby.
Yeah,
sounds.
It was stabby. Yes.
It was okay, that's definitely a stab.
Whoa. Are you stabbing somebody right now?
I am.
Sorry.
Yeah,
it'd be different if Joe was
settle
here.
Settle down, yeah.
Yeah. And you stab Joe, and we're like, okay,
yeah,
whatever.
That was that Monster Squad reference. Yeah.
So when I first saw that, I'm like, she definitely just stabbed that person. I thought maybe in the throat.
Yeah.
I thought she just killed someone. So I'm like, she just stabbed them to death. Later on, we see Dr. Kathy, and she has an eye patch on, so you're led to believe she just stabbed in the same spot in the eye over and over.
Dr. Kathy? She a pediatrician?
I can't.
Yeah. Dr. Kathy.
Yeah. So you see her, and then she just had an eye patch, so I'm like, oh, maybe she just beat the crap out of her. I thought she stabbed her. Maybe she just punched her in the eye like crazy. Yeah. And then later they say that she stabbed her. So I'm like, okay, it definitely seems stabby.
Right.
I was unclear.
They went over the top of the stabby sounds.
Because at first I'm thinking when she stabbed her, I'm like, she just murdered her. Like,
that's what
I thought.
You can't tell it's in the eye. You thought her throat.
Because I was like, how you look? Yeah, I thought it was the throat too. Yeah. And I was like, we ain't living through that.
It was an overhead view. So it wasn't even like you could see it any hardly peripheral. It was just overhead. So when she's stabbing, you're like, she's done.
Yeah.
But yeah, she couldn't go outside or something. And so we obviously see that this test subject, Morgan, is a bit unstable.
Yeah.
And then so what do? They go into like a background of
they
the science.
Cut to drone shot of the of a car pulling. Yeah, because there's some nice, I was talking about it, I go, there's some nice drone shots in this, you know, some nice atmospheric shots.
Whenever I see that shot, because you see it a lot in movies, I'm always like, oh, it's the Kubrick Shining shot.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Except for that was like achieved, you know, without,
before drones. Before they had to run a helicopter. Yeah. It was
great drone shot in Don't Breathe.
Yeah,
when they go all the way into him dragging her down the street, mentioned. But that was a great drone shot. And I thought about it, and I'm like, man, if you want to get that shot before, you would have had to have a helicopter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you think about all the shots that used to be like that, and I'm like, they used a drone. How cool is that, that films can take advantage of...
Way cheaper.
Yeah.
So we hear a... basically, we see somebody... There's a car driving, and we hear a voicemail, basically... Which seemed a very, you know, because I was like,
from
Brian Cox. So
Lieutenant
like,
Plot Device?
Yeah.
What is explaining what she's already on the way
Cox,
doing.
Who only one time can I think of in his career has he played maybe not a villain or not somebody on the wrong side.
He's just
side.
A dude. Yeah.
And that's Rushmore.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'm like, oh, well, he's always a bad guy. You know, it's Brian Cox.
Can I ask you a question? Is Brian Cox turning into Rip Torn?
He just kind of.
I think he's morphed into Rip Torn. The way his voice and when I saw him in this movie in particular, like if you look at him in other movies and like go to his IMDb, totally looks different. In this movie, he sounds and looks like Rip Torn. I'm like,
you know, it's funny when you say that he always plays a villain because I'm almost positive he was the original voice of Aslan in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Really?
And they brought in Leslie Nielsen. Oh, that would have been great.
That would have been awesome.
See that because he is associated. I mean, he makes an amazing Hannibal Lecter. If you have not seen Manhunter, check him out. It's a totally different take on the character, but I thought he was great.
Yes, he was originally to do the voice of Aslan.
Yeah. I think they probably made
this is a 2005 story from NarniaWeb.com.
Wow.
I will tell you, he is a working actor because, you know, I've seen him in a lot of stuff for sure, but I just went to his IMDb under actor.
Oh, he's
this is interesting. It says that they recast him because he had lost some weight and it changed his voice. Well, he fixed that.
He's going back. Yeah. He heard they might...
Yeah,
do another one.
Well, he's doing the Rip Torn bio.
I think they are doing
biopic.
Another one.
They are doing another one.
But his filmography, Brian Cox.
Oh yeah,
208 credits. Like I started,
awesome.
I started scrolling down, and you know, halfway down the page, I'm in 2009. I'm like, what?
Yeah, and I will say he's been the best William Stryker that we've seen.
Yeah.
This easily is, the best.
Just a real quote, a quote from this article. According to Mr. Cox's publicist, what was said at the conference is categorically false. Brian left the production because of scheduling conflicts. Scheduling conflicts? It's voiceover. It's entirely voiceover.
Yeah. Like, you don't even have to be in the same
you could
place.
Do that. Yeah, there's no way you could.
You could be anywhere in the world.
Yeah, and I'm not even saying that given reason is why he. But there's no way he left that movie because of scheduling conflicts. You can he could have done that whole movie in a day
anywhere.
Yeah,
it's called a land patch or satellite patch.
Yeah.
So back to the Mercedes through the woods.
Yeah. So, you know, we hear this
great Mercedes commercial.
Yeah, beautiful.
Great Mercedes. I think they actually just took stock footage. Yeah. You know, every time there's a car commercial, it's driving through the woods on a windy path.
Yeah.
I think they literally used the through the woods winding.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like
I've
shots.
I've seen that windy path.
Yeah. It was shots
I could,
of.
You know, you're right, because if you notice, we're close to the bottom of the screen. It says closed course.
Yeah.
Don't try this at home.
Yeah.
Professional driver. Yeah.
Yeah, the camera was actually down low, and you could see the Mercedes big symbol in the front. Like, clearly, it was a car commercial coming to the.
Yeah,
to the house.
And it says something like, you know, when you need to find out, you got to, I can't even remember what the gist of it was other than that it's a close, you know, they've been a close-knit group for
seven years. They worked there for 7 years in this closed facility.
They've fallen astray from the
plan.
They
might have like deviated from the plan or something. Yeah.
So she's there to investigate.
And did they bring up Helsinki at that point?
Yeah.
They're like, we don't want another Helsinki.
Right. So So there you go. We've got Brian Cox and something about Helsinki.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, okay. That seems like... And this person, we find out this is Kate Mara. She's supposed to be sort of a crisis, you know, assessment.
Yeah.
For, you know, a corporation.
Yeah, she's there to... And they keep saying the company, right?
The company,
It's like, they kept saying that over and over. Yeah. And I'm just like, could they have not said that 50 times in this movie? But anyway, or from corporate. I'm from corporate.
Yes.
This is what corporate... Oh, God. I'm like, it sounded like they're working at a Walmart. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, the way they kept saying corporate.
Yeah.
But anyway, but she's there to assess the incident, you know, and figure out what really happened with Morgan and stabbing this lady, you know, stabby stab. And also see what's going on in this facility, because it's all closed and there's like, what, five or six people that work there, basically. Yeah. So that's why she's showing up in her brand new 2017 Mercedes Benz.
Straight off the lot.
Yeah. They get there, and then Toby Jones gives this exposition piece, because, of course, you have to explain to a worker of the company what the company does.
Yeah, like, how
this is what we do here.
I will say, I took that as, like, they have a lot of different projects going on. Sure. So, you know, like, she's got to get up to speed.
Sure. I was just like, she might know what they're doing.
But then
here,
even after he explains it to her, though, like, I give him the benefit of the doubt, and she's like, I know all this. Stop wasting my time.
Exactly.
And like,
It's like, I'm thinking that she's going there to investigate, and if she was there to investigate and learn everything, she probably couldn't make that great of an assessment in a day. So, like,
they probably filled her in before she went.
Yeah, you would think, right? Just like Brian Cox giving her. Oh, I guess it was a voicemail. I'm like,
it was a very long voicemail too. Because I'm like, I've left voicemails before, but this one,
beep.
Like,
like, beep.
How long is this? Like,
hey, this voice
hey, me again.
I think I got cut off. That ever happened to you? Okay. Anyway,
this voicemail was so long it was delivered by Audible.
Oh my god! It was just like kept going, and then she's like, delete file.
Well, they had to show the turn radius, and they had to show the suspension of the car. There's a lot to show during the voicemail.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Toby Jones basically goes through and educates her on what their company does and what their job is, their experiment in this facility. And so you see that there have been three major experiments. So they have basically taken DNA, and they showed this little CG created thing about a nano thing that attaches to DNA. Mm-hmm. And so they're basically trying to create real human beings that are genetically modified. And so the first time the organs were born outside the body, which is something that really happens, I believe, with babies. But anyway, so in this experiment, the organs were born outside. It didn't last very long. Then they kind of brushed over the second one.
Not sure what happened.
I kept thinking, spoiler alert for later, that the second one might come into play more. You know, something might come into play. But they were like, the second one didn't work. And then the third one is Morgan. Like, they literally just brushed over that pretty... They didn't really say how it ended. They're like, that just didn't last long. And then the third one, they were able to have this baby, this thing born that looks like a baby.
Yeah.
They keep referring to, or Kate Mara definitely is like, it's an it.
She goes, she's an it.
Yeah, and these people have worked on this project for 7 years. Morgan, at this point in time, is 5 years old, yet looks like a 20-year-old, late teens, 20. She ages.
Like V.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never watched that. Did they grow fast?
They're like...
Accelerated.
The aliens have a baby with a human. Was her name Robin?
Oh God, I don't remember.
And but
still think about the lady eating the guinea pig.
Yeah,
that's
great television.
I tried to watch the reboot with Juliet from Lost.
It was not very good.
I know. I watched the first episode and I'm like, no, I'm not watching this.
But they had a hybrid.
Alien.
An alien seduces a human, and she has a baby, and then the baby ends up like with accelerated growth, which was really just a plot device. It was expensive to have a child
actor.
So it was like, oh, we'll just have, like,
So she ages or grows quite rapidly, but she's 5 years old at this point, and you get the feeling from
all
the characters
to her
that they're all attached. Exactly.
They had
like
birthday parties.
Yes.
And it's like,
they're outside playing tag and stuff. And so the thing is, this child is 5 years old, and Kate Mara from corporate is very rigid, very stoic, and it's just whenever anyone says she corrects them. It's an it. It is not a human being. And so you get the feeling that all the researchers, the five or six people, even the cook that she runs into, like, they're all attached to Morgan. They call her she. They consider her a human. Mm-hmm. They've attended these parties. And so anyway, that's the polarization there, is that, like, Kate Mara is there for business. It is a scientific project to her. It's not a person. And everyone else is a little hinky about that. So that's
not
the first
fan of corporate.
No, exactly. There, but who is really?
I mean, the cook is a little like iffy because apparently Morgan made a perfect risotto. And
he took umbrage at that.
Yes. But they you know, because they do drag out the time of, you know, before Kate Mara and Morgan actually come face to face.
Yeah.
And when they do come face to face, I was like, oh, so that's what happens.
Yeah. So they're basically like Kate Mara's character, who is called Lee Weathers.
Mm-hmm.
Lee Weathers. Why does that name? I feel like there's another character or something that's
there's an actress named Lee Merriweather.
Oh, maybe that's something. Because I'm like, Lee Weathers. That just okay.
I know.
So she wants to meet Morgan right away, and they're all like, "Yeah," dragging their feet, and they're like, "Oh yeah, we'll do that later," and you know,
we'll pencil in some time for Tuesday.
Yeah. So they finally bring her down, and Morgan has been isolated in this glass room. Literally, like it's just she has a bed. She listens to music a lot. It's pretty spacious, but it's still walled off by a glass wall. So you can tell they have her isolated after this incident. And they come face to face. And
they come face to face.
And like a reflection in a mirror.
So obviously.
It's glass. Don't be confused.
Yeah,
but.
Like they frame it in such a way of like, well, that either is just a weird coincidence or Luke Scott is not subtle.
Well, it's interesting because the six researchers or scientists that are obviously real people are very friendly. They have a lot of personality. Lee Weathers, it may as well be a robot.
Cold. She's very
Morgan,
stern.
Morgan,
detached.
As friendly and polite as she's been taught or programmed, whatever, by her nanobots.
Yeah.
Very robotic, very stoic.
Yeah.
So you've got these two characters that are just like ice, and then you have human beings that they're interacting.
And then finally, there is another doctor who comes in kind of oddly late. Basically the head doctor.
Dr. Lee Chen.
Yeah.
Chen.
Yeah. Because I'm like, oh, then she shows up because she's there to bring up Helsinki again.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. So you can tell. So she's like the head scientist, I guess, that's kind of in charge. But she doesn't do a lot
detached.
Of grunt work.
Yeah.
She's kind of like in the main office overseeing things. And
On a really bad internet connection. Making a diary.
Video diaries. So they come face to face and they're like, she's basically you can tell that Lee Weathers is trying to get a feel for Morgan and just get some basic responses. And the other doctors are like, all right, I think that's enough for this evening. We'll conduct the psych study tomorrow. So everybody get your sleep.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just get a really weird feeling from Morgan. Like her answers to, you can tell Morgan, we should say, is very smart.
Mm-hmm.
So they do reference in this movie that Morgan is smarter than anyone there. And they're all scientists, right?
Yeah.
And Morgan is 5 years old. So the intellect, because of this nanotechnology and the way. So we're led to believe that she's very smart and she seems to know everything and everyone. So
they even say at one point that she's developing precognition.
Yeah.
So, like, she's starting to get borderline psychic.
She knows. Yeah.
She knows Lee Weathers.
Lee, she goes, right when she arrives.
Yeah. Hello. Nice to meet you, Lee Weathers, or whatever. And she's like, you know me? She's like, hey, you're Lee Weathers. You work for blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the first point where just like, this is odd that she knows. So, anyway, they retire from that night. And then the next day, Paul Giamatti shows up.
Yeah, Paul Giamatti driving down the road, and
what car was he driving? Was that the Audi commercial?
I think it was the Audi.
Right,
we switched to the Audi commercial. He pulls up, and he plays the the cold, unfeeling
psychiatrist,
psych doctor.
Yeah,
so he's going to give her the test,
but they place him outside the window for his own protection.
Yeah,
and he's like, I don't need that. It'll be fine. Where we're like, it will not be fine.
Yeah.
Although I did like his line where he's like, if you need me on the other side of this glass, then she's already failed the psych evaluation.
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree?
And absolutely.
It's like, it's really hard to argue with that logic.
It was a good line. And then they instantly like, don't say anything. And they just go and open the door and put him in there. So they're face to face. And if you saw the preview like Dan and I did last week, did you ever see a preview for this?
No.
Movie? Okay. So when we saw the preview, you've seen this whole scene almost,
you know what happens.
And you know exactly what happens. And when I saw the movie, I thought that maybe she had some like special powers or something. Didn't they play the preview to make it look like she had powers?
Like she force pushed him into the wall.
They did. So that's the way. That's the way they cut the trailer. And I kept watching the movie, trying to figure out what her abilities were going to be. Because
like I thought we were going to be like, whoa,
right? I thought this movie was a sci-fi. You know, it's got Ridley Scott attached. Yeah. I thought this was going to be a sci-fi power type movie, where it's more of a science movie. It's nothing is like except for the precognition, but they're saying
and
that's
even
due to,
then.
Science, basically.
It's even then, she never really uses it except for parlor tricks. It's like she knows somebody's name already. She kind of knows why they're there. But it's not like she's really using it. She really never uses it to her advantage.
No,
to hurt
it was
people.
Just a couple of quick tricks, like you said. Yeah. I know who you
she
are.
She kind of uses it a little bit to get under her, Paul Giamatti's skin.
Right.
Or maybe not. I don't know. I mean, because he's just giving her a test.
And he also seems fairly off balance.
But
for someone doing an evaluation on someone,
he seems not right.
I get he was trying to force a certain or get a certain answer or see what kind of answer she would give, and he was definitely responsible for that. But I don't think that your like psychiatrist would yell at you and he basically coaxed her into giving the answer, which is she's not stable and should be terminated. Like there's no other, what other response could he have expected? Like he was pushing her buttons.
Oh, he's definitely pushing
and
her
so,
buttons. And she pushed his because she guesses that he's got a 13-year-old daughter.
That he doesn't see much. And, and that kind of thing. So, they have this conversation back and forth, which almost started off friendly. And Paul Giamatti progressively gets worse and worse with his questioning and his tone. And then he basically says, how would you feel? Because she says, I've developed feelings and I know what love is. I love my friends, these other scientists. And he's like, love? And that's where I get into these, conversations. And he's like, would you love me if I recommended you could go to the lake like you wanted? Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't know. And then he's like, well, how would you feel if I recommended we terminated you? And she's like, I don't know. And she's being very analytical and smart, I believe, playing him at this point. She's like, well, whatever answer you choose is the correct one because you're the professional. And that's where I'm like, man, she is smart. She knows what answers they're looking for. But then he starts pushing the buttons and she can't separate her logic from emotions. And then he's like, what would you say, like yelling at her, if I recommend that you're terminated, And then she basically gets up and pushes the table and grabs him, bites him in the jugular, and then it starts to look like something out of a Resident Evil movie or something. She's got blood all around her mouth, and this is the point where I'm just like, well, that's different than I thought this movie was going to be, because I think they purposefully cut that trailer. I don't know why. I only watched it once, but since we both thought there was some powers
like
going on here,
using like telepathy or
so
something.
So maybe they tried to spice it up a little and make it seem less like a psychological thing and more of a power thing. But anyway, so she just she bites him in the neck, and they all come. All the people rush in and subdue her with a tranquilizer dart, that's that. So at this point, you're like, okay, I don't think anyone's making the recommendation. It's kind of like at the end of Jurassic Park when he's like to Richard Attenborough, when he's like, I'm not recommending your park to be open. At this point, I'm expecting Kate Mara to say something, and they never really say it, but you're like waiting for it. Like, we're done. Terminating this project.
Yeah.
So the next scene, they wake up in a lab and the head scientist is there and they've got these syringes and basically they're going to put her to sleep is what they're doing. And so they're, Morgan wakes up and she's like, what's going on? I'm so sorry. I don't know where I was. Like, again, being very docile
just
and
crying.
And at this point, I wasn't sure if they were trying to go for an angle of like maybe she doesn't know what she's doing, like something took over. I think they were trying to show that like her nanotechnology, her like, she can't separate it from her human side that is whatever they implanted, her like real DNA that has emotions, and then her ability to be a weapon, basically, and so I think what they're trying to show is she's like, I didn't mean to, I'm, and she acted like a normal person. So at this point, you basically see that like she cannot control that side of her, and they're basically like, I think this is where the doctor is like, I'm not your mother. She keeps referring to that main doctor as mother because they've all grown up in this very close situation. And she basically breaks it to her, I'm not your mother. And this is where we're all like, I think someone's about to snap at this point. Mm-hmm. And isn't this where they go to put her asleep and then the...
the guy decides not. He's not going to...
The
one guy says, I'm not
like,
doing it.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not going to do it. And he puts down the syringe and walks out. Mm-hmm. He's been dating another gal scientist there. Yeah. And she's like, I understand. You made the right choice. So then at this point, I think Kate Mara is like, all right, well, I'm going to do it. Yeah. And she, I think she goes to grab the syringe. And then the other scientist who we haven't really mentioned, but his name's Ted, played by Michael Yar. He looked familiar, but I couldn't peg him. But he then tranquilizes Kate Mara.
Yeah.
So at this point, you're like, what the hell is going on here? It's just
they're
like...
They're going to, you know...
And this is where I thought it kind of got exciting. Again, yeah. I mean, I was pretty bored for the first half.
But really poorly shot.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, terribly. The action is terrible in this movie. We'll get to that for sure.
For building to this, you think you're going to get a better payoff.
Right, and it hasn't even happened yet, but there's two fight scenes in this entire movie. Mm. Terrible fight scenes, but that hasn't even happened yet. But at this point, we're like halfway through the movie almost, and I'm like, okay, a twist, something is going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, they've knocked out the main character here, and so I'm like, okay, this is getting interesting. At least the first half, I just thought was so boring with all their, you know, exposition. And this is what we do here, and meet the cook, and try my chili or whatever. You know, it's just like, come on. So at this point, she wakes up from that tranquilizer, and she's in the glass case,
right?
And then at this point, this is when Ted explains to her like, your opinion is one, and we've been working on this project for 7 years, and we think that we deserve a chance to explain to corporate our side of the story. So you're just going to hang out here while we get in contact. And she's like,
no, this is, you're making a huge mistake.
Yeah. Let me out. And she's like, they'll be here sooner than you think. And they're like, all right, well, we'll greet them and we'll talk about this. Right. Yeah. And so they go in, everyone is frantically packing their bags. And at this point we're led to believe they're going to escape with they're leaving the facility. They left, Dr. Chen, she's in like the main house, and everyone else is basically going to escape with Morgan, and you know, they care about her, so
including Ygritte from Game of Thrones.
That's who that is.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I'm like, I was.
She's
thinking,
not really like. I feel like she's more like just like
a counselor,
caretaker.
Or something. She's not a doctor. I'm pretty sure she's. Yeah, she's the closest one to Morgan. So they're actually like friends. She's the one that's taken her on these nature hikes. We learned that there was another incident that was pretty frightening. And I don't know if we flash back at this point, but it doesn't matter. They go back to that walk to the lake or outside, and they see a deer. And she walks up to the deer.
Impaled on a limb.
It's hurt, and then her instinct is to walk up to it and just snap its neck.
Yes,
and just kill it. And then that's when Ygritte is like freaked out, and so that is why they wouldn't let her out of the room. Right?
She's got tendencies.
Yeah. Before,
but at the same time, like that.
She was also putting it up its misery.
Right. I didn't think that was as cruel of an act as
right,
the movie.
I know.
Was,
I was kind
of
like, I was surprised that was the thing that like kept her in, because honestly, she made the decision that like this animal is
right.
not going.
Well, so.
And the thing was wounded.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
clearly had been wounded for a while because the deer was emaciated.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So like it had clearly been also.
If
I took
a cop
it,
came along, it would have shot the deer and put it out its misery. Right.
But
no,
they didn't know how to react to
it. I don't think so. So like she made the very logical decision because Morgan is basically a robot. I mean, she is a synthetic.
Yeah.
She is, you know, all this nanotechnology fused with some human DNA. And so she is logical and analytical, and she saw the wounded deer and took it out of its misery, right? Yeah. It's the right action, but yet they've grown up with this girl, quote unquote girl, and the fact that she just killed like that, like I don't think that was part of their research or programming, and so they wanted to analyze where that came from.
Right.
Sure, she made the right decision. Like, it should be put out of its misery, but maybe you go get a gun or call someone. She went and just killed it. And so I think they wanted to study that and maybe weren't going to isolate her to that room yet. I think they maybe just wanted to isolate her from nature walks and so they could study her. And
well,
then Stabby,
I mean, or at least get some
answers
or something, because she's so pale. She
and also, why?
Well, she doesn't go outside.
And also, was she like Eminem getting ready for a rap battle? Why was she in a hoodie the entire time?
Yeah, no. I mean, they had socked up on like a lifetime supply of hoodies
of
for
gray
her,
hoodies
too.
That's one thing,
different sizes, because that's her outfit of choice.
And during the movie I since she never really changed that outfit, we see her out of the hoodie, or maybe it's off one time in the entire movie. The rest of the movie she's in a gray zip-up hoodie. So I was thinking, are we gonna get a reveal that she has some half robot thing? Like I kept thinking, why would you keep this character in a gray zip-up hoodie? You don't see her hair. I'm like, does she have hair?
I think it was easier to make her look otherworldly.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, it just was weird.
I think if she had when you see the hair, it humanizes her in a way that they were trying to make her look just not quite right,
because she was pale and you couldn't see the hair, and so you're right, and it worked, so that makes sense. Anyway, so yeah, I think she was banned from nature walks, and then she went stabby McStabberson. Mm-hmm. Then she was locked to the room and led us up to the incident and all that. So we see that, and we know that something is a little weird with her programming. So at this point, they're all packing their bags and they're going to escape with her. Mm-hmm. And
she's kind of groggy.
Yeah, she's waking up for a thing, and you believe that these people love and care for Morgan. Like, they're not. You know, these scientists started off with a project, but from all the home videos and everything we've learned, they care about her. So they are not trying to trick her or do anything. Mm-mm. But Morgan wakes up and they're like, we got to go. She grabs the syringe that they were going to put her under with and stabs it right in the main dude's stomach.
Yeah,
and
she's she's not quite as attached to them.
Yeah. And so at that point, it's like, crap. And I really felt bad for that guy because, like, he was a good character. Like,
he's the one who let her live.
Yeah. They're all there doing. You start to feel for him because, really, he was a good dude. And
she kills him first.
She kills him.
She kills Ted next.
Yeah.
While he's talking to Kate Mara.
So he grabs a gun and points at her and he's like, Morgan, you have to stop this.
Yeah.
And does she get it out of his hands and then shoot him? And I thought this was a cool scene.
Yeah.
This was the way they filmed it. So again, to give more credit to a couple of these shots in the movie, it's a peripheral view. The room is on the left and Kate Mara's maybe on the right or kind of like in the center looking at this peripheral view. Mm-hmm. And he starts stumbling out of the room and he's been shot like in the stomach or whatever. And he's looking at her and they don't say anything. They're just looking at each other.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he gets shot in the head and the blood spatters to the right on the wall. So like, it was just a cool scene the way he stumbled out, one static shot, and then is killed like that. And so she kind of jumps and is like, whoa. And that's when Morgan comes out, and then now they're on opposite sides of the glass, like the same scene shot on the other end. And and this is basically where she's like, she says something to her like, you'll understand or you'll see something like that. And at this point, what we've all been thinking since the beginning is that Kate Mara, because of her similarities to Morgan, the way they both are so cold, we're like, Kate Mara has to be
something's not right.
A robot or something. There's something weird. Yeah. She's another experiment or whatever.
Well, they talked about Helsinki enough that, like, we also heard that there was 30 people, and that became something happened and down to 9.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. And so at this point, Morgan says something like, you'll understand, you'll see, and the way she looks at her. So she doesn't kill her like she killed everybody else. So I'm like, there's something Morgan knows about Kate Mara's character, you know, and then she takes off. So then Kate Mara shimmies up some
bed. Yeah, Kate Mara becomes an action hero.
She does, yes. At this
full blown.
At this point, she is doing like the American Ninja Warrior wall climb and like shimmying up and doing all this stuff and busts out a vent from the ceiling. And then Ygritte comes stumbling along. Or no, Morgan busts out of the research facility and Ygritte's like waiting out there because they wouldn't let her in the interrogation because they knew how close she was and maybe she's not a scientist or whatever. And Ygritte's like, where's everybody? Where's Ted? Where's whatever? And she's like, we have to go right now.
Get in the car.
Yeah. And
I'm gonna go to the other house and kill everybody else.
Yeah. And then I can't remember the guy's name, but the girlfriend, whoever the other scientist was that had a relationship with the first guy that she killed, she starts getting in the car and she gets out of the car and Morgan just kills her.
Takes her out.
And that's when, I mean, the first time Ygritte sees Morgan do something like that. And so she's visibly shaken. You know, she is literally shaking. She actually hands the gun that I think that gal had that she killed over to Ygritte and is like, here you go. You hold this. Mm-hmm. Get in the car. Wait for me. Yeah. I have to go see Mother. So you're like, oh, that'll be a nice visit, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And this is when we see Dr. Chen doing the Skype.
Yeah. A really bad connection.
Yeah, so she's doing this, like video diary to the board, to the corporate or whatever, trying to explain what happened. You know, you always see those in like futuristic movies. Like you see that in Interstellar and you see that in like Prometheus and you see those in all those sci-fi futuristic. And I'm just thinking like, that's weird in modern times to do like a video report when there's phones and things. But anyway,
you could just use a really long voicemail.
I mean, they're long in this movie. So basically what happens is Morgan basically comes in and kills her on camera and it's recorded on the video report. And she comes down and they get in the car and this is where we get the chase scene.
We also see that Toby Jones either killed himself.
Yeah,
or
he
Morgan
hung
I took
him.
It as he killed himself.
Killed himself.
He had grown so attached to Morgan and couldn't even bear the fact that they were killing her, basically, and he felt like she was a person. And so that was a little depressing because he was a good dude.
Yeah,
like
he just was misguided.
Yeah, and
Kate Mara runs inside to get her gun. Mm-hmm. That she apparently has for her risk assessment job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then she brings along, you know, Cookie, whatever his name was, the cook. And
his hunting rifle. They alluded to that earlier. Whenever they're cooking, she's like, why do you have a gun? And he's like, oh, we're farm fresh here. You know, I'm pretty good shot. Like, he kills deer you know. So that's what they have it, at least.
It's okay to shoot a deer.
So
he's not locked up for shooting deer.
No.
But if she snaps the neck of one
that's going to die.
Yeah.
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 Makes sense.
Okay.
So the car chase I don't even know where they plan on going.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they overlap two of those car commercials where they're driving through the woods. They just put the other one overlapped on and they're winding through the hills.
Yeah, winding through the...
Well, they were heading to the lake. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the whole point. Right, is that Morgan wants to go to the lake that Egrets told her about, and
which really the lake was a little underwhelming, considering it's supposed to be the most beautiful lake ever. How does this like?
It was okay.
I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't
the lake.
Yeah, it wasn't an ugly lake,
it's
but
no
it
Camp
was
Crystal Lake.
But
no,
it wasn't.
But
like,
it was just like, yeah. Okay. What do you do now?
Yeah, it's a lake. Yeah, you finally found yourself a lake.
So, So Cookie is like, I know where they're going. Get in and
there's a line I like here where obviously there's a quote unquote reveal that we all kind of figured out pretty early, but where he's trying to stop her, like, we just need to leave, and she's like, this is what I do. She's just like, oh no, now I know what now I can really dial in on my mission.
As soon as she went superhero, just affirmed, you're
when
like
she's loading up her gun, you're like,
yeah,
there's something.
She's more than you need.
She's not just a badass like agent. At this point, you're just like, she is elite. Whatever she is elite. And anyway, so they're in the van on the way to the lake, and then Kate Mara drives up in the Mercedes, and the van starts sideswiping it and sideswipes it right into a tree, where she obviously gets very injured. And that's when the cook pulls up and sees her, and she's like, "I'm commandeering your vehicle," and he's like, "No, you're not. You're like can't even walk." And so he says, get in. They're going to the lake. And this is when they get there. And at this point, I believe this is when the movie is about 15 minutes from being over. Because I looked at my phone, and this is just when the action starts, 50 minutes out of an hour and a half movie, the so-called action starts. Mm-hmm. Nothing's really happened. And then it's almost over. I'm like, this is just kind of a pointless movie. Like, I compare this movie genre-wise and like the feel of it and some of the stuff to like Ex Machina, which was an excellent movie, right?
Yes.
And there's like a... they bring up a lot of ethical things, a lot of ethical questions. Like in Ex Machina, this is a robot, but it had human traits and a personality. Mm-hmm. And so if it can learn, and if it can learn to feel and these things, like, can you just get rid of it? Because is it a person at this point, right? So
and
it deals
they try
with
to bring
similar,
up some of that in this. It's just more of the Laffy-Taffy version.
Right. It's just bad. So like when I was thinking of how good Ex Machina is and how they bring up these things, and you have the conflict between Oscar Isaac, who is basically like what all these scientists are. You know, you have him, and then you have the kid that's General Hux, who is trying to, and the Weasley kid that is Bill Weasley.
Yeah.
You've got these great characters, and they're both on either end of the spectrum of trying to, like, you know, is this robot thing more human, or is it just a robot? And so they did it in such a good way, and so much happens in that movie. But at this point, by the time we're to this chase, and then there also was one fight scene, one of the two fight scenes, which I think has to set the record for quickest jump cuts ever.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I thought Red 2 was bad. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this.
I don't even know if they were in the same room.
No, I almost, seriously, I was getting a headache from it.
Yeah.
There's jump cuts like that terrible Red 2 action scene we always talk about that like convenience store with the martial artist and Bruce Willis or whatever. And they're quick, and that was terrible. They were like 1 second or less than a second. This had to be 1/10 of a second jump cuts. It goes like half a punch, half a punch, half a punch, turn the camera, this person, that person, every movement, whether it was a hit or not, just like a movement was a different angle. They must have not been able to film one good looking like puncher scene, because they just cut everything together. And there's like Jason Bourne type cuts and good action cuts, and then there's this mess.
We'll make it look more intense.
Yeah, I think they were punching each other. Maybe. I mean, the sound effects were good. I'll give them that. Like, the sound, seriously, the sound editing that they used for these choppy, crappy cuts.
Well, you know, they had the stabby guy, so he's like, I got some good punches in my library. Hold on.
Yeah. So, I mean, literally, like, they were like, poof, poof, whatever. Yeah. It sounded good, but, man, that gave me a headache. So, anyway, they had that terrible fight scene, and then Kate Mara goes with the chef, and then Morgan and Egret are at the lake, and they get there. And they go out to the dock that overlooks the lake and some hills.
And then they've got
tearing up, basically. Yeah, and at this point, I'm like, so they've gotten to the lake.
And
what is the end game here? Like, where is Morgan going to go from here? She's just going to live at the lake.
Her superior intellect petered out about right.
Yeah, here. Right.
Because I'm like,
what was your plan? So yeah, she got to the lake with her quote unquote friend, you know, Egret here. And so at this point, Egret is like, maybe we're jumping ahead here. At this point, Kate Mara has the rifle that she's taken from the chef, and she can't find them. She's just in the middle of the woods. Yeah. So she's like, I'm just going to shoot up in the air.
Right.
And that lures Morgan. So luckily Morgan
into a fight
and this was,
and she gets impaled.
Yeah,
she throws her gets impaled.
Yeah,
just like the deer.
Yes, exactly.
And
but she doesn't kill her.
At this point we're like, well, you know what she's most likely to do, and she doesn't.
Well, we'll see. What I thought at this point when she gets impaled, and I'm like, I think they're gonna show her. They went with more of the reveal, like the surprise reveal, but I thought they were gonna show her just get up.
Yeah,
you know, and take the thing out.
Yeah,
from her
I thought
side
so too.
And
yeah.
start fighting her or go after her or something.
Like have some sort
like
of Wolverine
face to face
powers or something.
Yeah. No. So at this point, as far as we know, which no one thinks, but Kate Mara's dead. She's impaled on this log.
Right.
Morgan goes back to the dock and
to stand and look at the water supply.
She's back there again for the second time in this movie. Again, I have no idea what they're going to do. And it's not even like there's stuff to do there. There's no boats. There's no house on the lake or anything.
There's
a lake, hills, and one dock with no boats. It's like, so you're there, and at this point, Egret's like, you have to stop. She takes the gun that Morgan gave her back in, you know, 30 minutes earlier, and she points at her, and you got to stop. And now we know she's toast because, you know, Morgan gives her the look of, like, the other scientists got the look, you know, and she's like, okay, you're not my friend. I thought you were my only friend. And so she basically is going to try to kill Egret, and then all of a sudden,
there's
surprise, Kate Mara's not dead. And so she comes up behind her and beats her. And
she beats her.
Throws her into the water. And then gets in and drowns her. Yeah. So at that point, you're like, okay, so our suspicions were affirmed. She's not human.
Yeah, she's not real.
Very resilient.
Yeah. So at this point, it's just Kate Mara and Egret. This I didn't really see coming, but here's damage control.
Yeah.
She just takes the gun and shoots Egret in the head.
Yeah.
Done.
Dead. Falls in the water. Whatever. Yeah. So you're like, oh, crap. So she gets out, and it's just her and the chef now. They're the last two people from the facility that are alive.
Yeah.
And so I don't believe she was going to kill him. She's like, get in the car. We got to go. And he started asking questions.
Yes.
He said, where is Egret? I just can't remember her name. Yeah. None of these characters are really that
memorable. I was just making up my own name.
I don't know. Whatever.
So Cookie goes, where's Red?
Yeah, exactly. So, and he goes, no, where is she? And at this point, she's like, I'm sorry, because she kind of liked him. The chef
they
dude was a good guy. They did have this connection, and she goes, I'm so sorry or whatever, and kills him.
Yeah, she's like, I'm sorry.
So at this point, we fast forward to Brian Cox, and he's in a meeting room with another executive, and they start talking about
they're at the bad guy office.
Yeah.
the
headquarters.
Because they're all like,
And so they start saying that this experiment, which they call it like the L7 program or whatever, let's just call it L7. So they're like, you know, we told you the L7 program was never the best program or whatever. And so he's like, now it's time to revert everything back to the
L4.
R14. Yeah, it was the fourth one. Yeah, to the L4. And they talk about, she acted perfectly. She acted to protocol. She acted whatever. And so, put two and two together.
Then,
the L4.
She does this like thing with her hands. Which
she did the same thing that Morgan did.
It was like this thing Morgan did.
Would
like,
always turn her
times.
Hands over and be like, look, which hand's the ball
it
in?
Was it was basically like, you know, when the dealer is at blackjack.
It was exactly.
Or like she's about to do a card
or
trick.
Or the hide the ball thing. Which hand?
Nothing,
no hands.
Nothing up my sleeves.
So we see her do that two times.
We're 100% certain at this point, because in case you had any doubt, maybe at the first 10 minutes.
The L4 program, and then it shows Kate Mara at the desk, like as they're talking about the L4
program.
There's
like a big sign flashing overhead. She's a robot.
She's a robot. And she acted perfectly according to protocol. And then it just flashes back to her, and you're like, sequel.
Yeah,
Morgan
then,
too.
Then it's over.
I don't think you'll be getting a Morgan
too. No, well, not with this kind of. I
hope Kate Mara's three-picture deal was pay or play.
Yeah. I mean, is that honestly is it a terrible movie? It just is. It's a very slight movie.
Exactly. It's very slight, and it's twist. It's because it's so slight. It was almost impossible to bury the twist.
No. There's nothing to this movie. And like I was talking to Tom before the show, I'm like, I didn't like this movie. It wasn't Getaway bad, but it just wasn't good. It just wasn't.
No.
Okay. It was a well made film. The acting was fine. The acting wasn't the problem. Yeah. The camera shots weren't the problem.
No, it's a good looking movie.
But it was so slight that there, again, like Ex Machina is packed with moral dilemmas.
Sure.
Yeah.
Good writing and really intriguing characters. This was just like nothing happened till 15 minutes. Then they went on a little chase. She kills everyone. And then Kate Mara kills her. And it's like, oh, surprise. She's a robot.
I mean, this was like fortune cookie philosophy.
Yeah. And so they really, there was no good action.
No.
There was no good plot, really. No good characters. So, like, what was it about this movie left to enjoy? There just wasn't. It was empty.
And it feels hollow after Ex Machina. I think we might have a little bit more affinity for the film if we hadn't seen Ex Machina. But because we'd already seen something that dabbles in this and more of an art house than action
but
movie
I don't think we would have liked this either way. But I don't think it helps.
It doesn't help.
Yeah. It is just... I mean, I sat there. I was like, wow, is that going to be the twist?
Yeah.
Because we just started.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And, like I said, there's just not enough going on.
Right there.
Yeah. Stuff like this, movies like this live on, it's like a magic trick.
Yeah.
Back to the hands. And you need to distract people. And there's so little going on in this movie that within 10 minutes, you're like, oh, is that like, and honestly, like I dismissed it for a while because to me it was so obvious.
You just couldn't.
I was like, oh, well, they're not going there.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You're like almost hope that. I was telling Tom, I kind of wish that they would have had Morgan. I want to write the movie for him.
Yeah.
I wish that Morgan would have been like accelerating as the movie progressed and that towards the end,
she would catch up.
She would suddenly she'd turn around and it was Kate Mara. And she was like a clone.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, that would have been cool.
I thought at one point that Kate Mara was the second one.
Right.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I thought
when
they were, because
they
looked similar.
And they brushed over the second one. I'm telling you, the first one, the organs are born outside. Yeah. And
the second one,
they're like, they just go, that didn't work out. And so I thought maybe, in my head, I'm thinking, okay, maybe corporate took the second one, discarded it. And then that was really Kate Mara, and the scientists thought it died.
Right.
So I'm thinking they are the same program, but that didn't happen.
I mean, at least that would have been like, ooh, you know.
That would have been cool.
No, it was just like.
She's just a part of a whole different program.
Oh, yeah. No such luck.
And at the end, again, like I kept waiting for something to happen, and I thought we're going to figure out like, oh, Morgan's going to go out into the world, and she's going to have to like figure out where is she hiding and all this. But when I saw how little the movie was left and they were just at the lake, I'm like, all that's going to happen is one is going to die, one is going to live, and it's going to be over. I'm like, that's it?
Yeah.
That's all that's to this movie? No complex dilemma? No.
Nope.
Future, really? Like,
No.
It's a very... I mean, it's an hour...
32 minutes.
32 minutes.
Not so that I Google it during the film.
Very slight.
And I could, because there was nobody else in the theater.
Oh, so... Your theater, nobody was there?
In the theater.
Dan, your theater?
One other person.
My theater, nobody. Yeah. And I was not in a 15 seat theater, mind you. You were in a fancy theater, so how many seats? 30,
50? 30, 40. Yeah. The thing that makes me mad about this movie is that I forgot that I was at the theater that had the seats that reclined.
Oh.
And then it was like 40-minute mark, and I'm like, oh, man. And I just leave my seat back.
I had my feet up.
And then were you at a fancy theater?
At B&B.
How many people in that theater can
I
see?
I would say they probably hold 35
few
or 40.
Rows or whatever. Okay. I was in a 250-seat theater.
Yeah.
On a Saturday night at one of the most popular theaters in the area, I was the only person. Saturday night, opening weekend.
I've only seen one trailer for this movie, and it was only a week ago.
Yeah.
So they were clearly just
done with it.
Dumping
that's
it.
Right.
And
think.
I think they were just dumping it because, and I think it got the weeks of promotion because of Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, we really want you to finish that Alien movie. You're mad.
Yeah. We don't want to make you mad.
Yeah.
So, Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
Obviously, Ex Machina. There's so many movies that we could pull from. So I'm like, what is a movie that would kind of work with this? Because there's certain things that happen in a movie that reminded me of a 1995 movie called Species. Because, you know, if you... It was funny because you're like... Ben Kingsley, Forrest Whitaker, Michelle Williams, Alfred Molina. You got all these people in that movie.
And this is like species two or three we're talking about.
This is just one. Yeah. And you're like, man. And then you got, Michael Madsen. Okay. Well, now you're talking. And that is a movie where, if you don't remember the movie, you've got in Natasha Henstridge, who's introduced in that movie very well.
it's one way to describe it.
So you've basically got... the movie opens and we find out that in the same way, this girl was grown in a lab, provided by alien technology that was like transmitted somehow.
Yeah, I can't. It's been a long time.
They kind of gloss over this whole 95.
It's a long time ago, but I do remember it was like a lab created person.
Yeah,
experiment
she's
type
created,
thing, so,
and
yeah.
It's actually Michelle Williams, and she's quite young in this, and I think she's supposed to be 11 or 12.
Okay.
And the movie opens with them like about to eliminate her in much the same way that they were going to do with Morgan, because
she goes stabby stab, things, stab.
Yeah, she breaks out and escapes, and then. Kills a hobo pretty bad and then she ends up escaping on the train while they're all pursuing her. There's like they constantly, she escapes this base where there's like hundreds of military, but she was able to escape, and helicopters everywhere,
of course,
and there's like helicopters all over the place, like every time like she's on the run suddenly there's like a helicopter. I'm like, how come you didn't have that? Like, did you not have that thing turned on?
Yeah.
Because, like, if you've got helicopters, why are they ready? You know? She's on foot.
Yeah.
And then she, like, kills the ticket taker on the train, and then she evolves into naked Natasha Henstridge, and then it just is not a very good movie. In fact, I remember it was a movie I did on The Point a long time ago, and I was like, it's it's not terrible, but it's,
I didn't put
it
you on that poster
horrible.
For that quote.
I did not get the quote.
Wasn't,
I did not get the quote. No, but it is so bad, and it's the CGI is unbelievably bad.
Oh,
like, I remember like
95
CGI. No, character designed by H.R. Eager. So it's got that kind of perverse alien-esque kind of creature design, but oh my god, just to, speaking of alien,
if it was in the early 90s and you weren't James Cameron, your CG wasn't looking
holy
very good,
cow, like, it's just so bad, and it just turns into a really bad horror movie. But it's the same thing, that the genetics and,
what was the movie, I remember seeing a movie like that was about like an alien or something who was
E.T.
Like,
phone home.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Who was, like, super sexy, and she was, like, naked.
E.T., phone home.
And she was naked for part of the movie.
That's this movie.
No. It was, because I saw it when I was a kid. Like, I saw it, like.
Life Force?
Yeah.
Life Force.
Life Force.
Oh, that movie. I love that.
Because that's like a PG movie.
Terrible. That's a Tobe Hooper movie. And it is, and Steve Rial's back, and Patrick Stewart.
Because when you're like 14 or something, you go see Life Force. And then all of a sudden, like, she walks around
she's
naked. And it was like a PG movie somehow.
At some point, but it's definitely not.
Because
she's full.
Because
full.
I saw it in the theater, and we were like, holy
that
cow.
And that movie
like,
is, and that is, and it's actually Space Vampires.
Okay.
Oh.
Space Vampires. Yeah. It is so. Yeah, it's one of those ones that like I have to watch it every few years because it's not good.
Yeah,
but it's so weird.
Was this an NES tie-in or is that just coincidence?
That's
I was gonna say, did they make an NES game?
No, Life Force is that's one that's like it's kind of a deep fried taco,
right?
Yes, but the species no, and there's like been four I think total, but
yeah, they made a bunch.
Yeah, not. On par with Morgan.
It was the species of its day.
It was the species of its day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool. Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So, So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, you can find us at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on iTunes at Real Spoilers. If you want to just go to an old-fashioned website like the kids used to, you can find us at realspoilers.com or dirtypiratehookers.com.
Always.
So don't forget, we're available on iTunes. Go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps the show tremendously, and we greatly appreciate it.
You know what? I think people thought we weren't on there anymore. That's why they haven't been reviewing.
That's what's going
on. Just let them know.
Yeah, let them know. Yeah, we're on the iTunes.
So we're going to have to probably extend the episode next week. to read all the iTunes reviews.
And then I guess you can review us at the other places, but there's so many other places that it's hard for us to keep track of them. So if you do review us and you on another, on a Stitcher or something, and you want us to read it, just take a screen grab and send it to us, and we will include it.
And you know, a lot of those other ones propagate iTunes reviews. So most of the time when you're even on another one, they'll actually show you like, and here's reviews from iTunes.
Oh,
like,
okay.
So
that
seems to be the main hub of reviews.
Gotcha. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What is next week, Sully? I mean, I like Sully. I really feel like I'm going to miss Mike Wachowski.
There's that. And I know at some point, Girl on the Train is coming, it's getting a staggered release, so I think they're you know, maybe trying to do Oscar.
Gotcha. Slow roll out. We'll find out one way or the other, but no matter what, we will be back next week because it's what we do. So thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Ava abandons Caleb in the locked facility.
You're having my baby. What a lovely way of saying how much you love me. What a lovely way of saying what you're thinking of me. I can see it, your face is glowing. I can see it in your eyes, I'm happy knowing that you're having my baby. You're the woman I love and I love what it's doing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.